and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 372. How are we all doing? I've not got the chat. I do like a surprise, you see. I like a surprise to see if young Jonathan has made it in first. Oh, I can't see the chat at all. Crying out loud. Right, I shall do a refresh. Yay! Oh, Jonathan, pipped at the post by Kim. Congratulations, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Kim can't wait for the brown cable update. We're all just waiting for Pete. I think the brown cable may feature in the title of the show. Oh, just as Jonathan was cutting his pizza, we had portobello mushroom pizza today. Loved it. Loved it, loved it. Hello, Paul. Still raining. We're still getting pictures that are absolutely horrific. Would it ever stop raining? Is this actually your summer or is it the tail end of summer? Let me know. I know when our friends went, they went October, November, didn't they? And they said they were going, in fact, they're trying to get there this year. Although that's not looking good, is it? They're going in the autumn because they like the weather. What are you up to, madam? You being good? Daddy, I've not had a dentist stick. This is the problem, father. Can you possibly get off your chair and get me a dentist stick? Kim would approve. In fact, Kim would be saying, what, you've not given her a dentist stick? Do we have a red dentist stick? Oh, we do. The girl's favourite. Look at that. There we go. Dentist stick. Right, paw. Give me a paw. Good girl. Oh, she's happily munching on that now. CQ, Deb. CQ. Quite right, Renee. Pete, the master of suspense. We're all waiting. The cable. Ooh.
Cable gate.
Oh, Kim says that Paul, on the news, they're saying it's the 100-year flooding. Stay safe out there. It really was horrific, horrific. I mean, we think we have it bad here. We actually had it worse about maybe 10, 12 years ago. And the thing was, it like rained and then there was massive floods and then it eased off, then it started again. And everybody who'd like just started drying it out, it all started again. But it was mainly Wales, Devon way. Oh, Jonathan's caught up. Listened to the one-year show on catch-up with Simon. He was awesome. Ah, yes, indeed he was. Very excited about his new kit. What was interesting to me was the fans are coming on my new computer. Not as badly as they were with the old one, but, you know, Apple, honestly. And do you know what? Tomorrow should have been the event, shouldn't it? So they've also retired two more iMacs. So they knocked off slyly off the inventory list. They knocked off the iMac Pro and they've now unceremoniously murdered two more iMacs, 21-inch versions with different configurations. So it does look like the 21-inch is doomed. But when? Because it's not like them to do it this close to an event. Do you think they'll spring an event on us tomorrow?
No.
Oh, Pete is in. Excellent. Right. Everybody is waiting for the saga of the cable. Do you know what we could do, Pete? You know, hype it up a lot. Why don't you Skype in and tell us the story of the cable? Would that be a good idea? I'd have to do some jiggery-pokery at this end, but it's doable. It's doable if you would like to come on and talk to us about the cable. If you would, I am going to have to do a little bit of jiggery-pokery, though. So let me know.
I want to do some jiggery-pokery.
What are you jiggery-pokerying with?
I'll need to plug in me.
Right. Is that working? Right. What I need to do is open up extra things. Press buttons. So where's my Skype toy? Yes, Pete will do. Okay, hang on, Pete. Where's Skype gone? That's not good. Oh, it's up there. Hoisted by my own petard. I'm looking for Skype under S, you know, like you would. Where is it? Ah, it's at number two. I have them numbered. I have microphones at one, Skype at two, radio broadcast at three. So if I was looking in the right place, I'd be doing really well, wouldn't I? Okay, I've got that sorted out. Headphones, where are they? Nestling under 3 million cables. Oh, not plugged in because I have them on Bluetooth. Should do this beforehand, shouldn't I? Spur of the moment decision. Spur of the moment.
You're after something else now.
Oh, now Kim says the new M1 MacBook Air, long battery life. Can get through marooned after hours and 196 with the battery left. That's a test and a half, isn't it, Kim? Right. Can I hear myself? I can, but more importantly, if Pete rang in, I'd be able to hear Pete. So, I reckon we're good to go. And I think we are good to go. So, you have rung me before, Pete. I am Elaine Giles on Skype, surprisingly, or rather not surprisingly. So whenever you're ready, and you'll go straight live, it'll be as smooth as a Jonathan entry. Do you remember the first time? Mm. That wasn't smooth. No, but this will be. Well, that's a very good point, Jonathan. No use for Jonathan because he couldn't make it through Marooned After Hours on 196. Not all of it. Oh, Jonathan, we love you anyway. You know we do. No problem, Pete. Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready. People are so excited about the brown cable. Oh, how long has the brown cable been rumbling on? Quite a while. Right. You should be able to hear Pete, I think. But I don't know whether Pete would hear you if you speak. Right. But if you come over here, then they will. That was, I think, the saga.
Yeah.
They will hear you. It's Pete hearing you that's the issue, as far as I can remember. Do you know, I've forgotten how I set this up. It was that long ago. Oh, Tracy's in a thermo mix class. It does sound like Thermo Man, doesn't it? I never saw that. I think I saw like 2 minutes. Thermo mix. You're going to miss Pete. And Pete's big reveal, indeed. You haven't missed it yet, Tracy, but he's going to come on and tell us about it. Why am I talking? She's not listening, is she? She can't hear me. Somebody tell her in the chat that Pete's coming on live. She can listen on demand when I've caught up. OK, so that's my evening sorted out. Got to catch up now. I thought you said a thermo flask class. No, it's a thermo mix. Thermo mix. It does sound fantastic. But, you know, you don't want me in the kitchen. Not for any longer than you absolutely have to. No. I have been known to cook things, haven't I, Mike?
You have.
Allegedly. So what's everybody else been doing today? What have we been doing today? I think I was fixing something. Why was I fixing something?
What was that noise?
That was her growling because, you know, one was nice, but two would be better.
You just had an extra biscuit.
And she was, but Daddy yesterday, 4.5 hour walk. Oh, Daddy, another one. Or something different.
Why don't we go in the garden?
Oh, he's going to have to sort out Em's microphone more like 10 minutes. Not a problem, Pete, whenever you're ready. Should have access to an invite for Mike for Saturday. Oh, what's this? An invite to Mike to do what? Oh, Renee was creating a wonderful PowerPoint file. Excellent. Is this for work or something more exciting altogether? Renee wishes had a Thermomix. I'm cold. I haven't even seen one of these things yet. It's like a mixer, I believe, and it does all kinds of magic. So that's why apparently we need one. Hello, Anthony. Anthony's going to be joining us this week, aren't you? I will reply to that email. I will. It's been chaotic here, hasn't it? I was all right as well until catastrophe struck while Mike was working. So I had to leave the office to deal with it. And when I got to where I needed to be, I didn't have any of the equipment that I needed to have. So I had to hold the fort, like the boy with the finger in the dam, for 45 minutes until Mike had finished. And the only thing I had with me was my iPhone. And I texted and said, "You done?" And he said, "Well, actually, you just walked out of the office and said, yeah, but you probably came in here, didn't you? Looking for me. But I wasn't in here. No, I was holding the fort elsewhere. So that was exciting this afternoon. I've got some demos that I'm planning for Friday. Also working on the running order for Sunday. So that was today. I'm going to be up late trying to sort out the rest of it. I am. But I work better when it's quiet at night. Oh, and I watched a YouTube thing. But what did I watch? And I'm sure I think I created something, but I can't remember what. Does it count if you can't remember? I've updated my craft. So I've created a system, basically, for the live shows. And that looks very pretty. Very, very pretty. Completely different to how I was expecting to use it, to be honest. But it's working, and it's working rather nicely. So it's actually a joy to work with, apart from the Catalina issue. The forward delete key doesn't work in Catalina. Well, it does. In fact, it's rather ambitious with its little self, and it deletes too much. So I needed to sort that out, but I don't think there's a way to sort that out. Oh, I've just had a thought. Oh, that's a good thought. You see how you are inspirational to me? Right, what if I did that? Right, I'll make myself a note on my Jonathan board. On my Jonathan board it is. Kim, Elaine's created a system. I'm shocked. I love your systems. It's what amazes me is when it's nothing like I expected. I parodied Craft and I expected to have a folder for each event. If you think about it, that's what you would need to do in virtually everything else, particularly like Evernote. You'd have to have a notebook. And the problem with Evernote was there was a huge limit on the notebooks you can have. I think it was only about 250, which for the number of events I do, that's nothing. But with this one, what I've decided to do is go for one craft document per event. So instead of in the projects folder having five folders, one for each show, I've got a Mad March folder. If anybody saw my stuff, they would lock me up, wouldn't they? So I've got this Mad March folder. And then within that, I've got one craft document per session and a one overall document that's got all the time and date links and the direct links, which is working well. Did not see that one coming. I am still copying and pasting the stuff when I've finished into Notion, or that's the plan. It's actually easier if you use the one page system to create a PDF and send that out. So I'm thinking of that at the moment. What is interesting is looking that I've got four in there at the moment. One is me actually creating it. So that one doesn't look like the others. But when you look at the three that I've used this for, the last one is absolutely perfect. All lined up, colour coded, you name it. One before, not quite so organised. And the one before that, a text-based calamity. So I've got to go in and fiddle with it. But it's so cathartic. It's just like Notion when you're putting your covers and your icons in. And it makes absolutely no difference functionally. But it does in your mind. So that's where I'm at with it. It's beautiful. Loving it. Loving it. Good night, Jonathan. Oh, it's going to listen to Pete on catch-up. Did I know they call the college basketball championships March Madness? Oh, no, I didn't. No, I did not. I played basketball once, but I've never actually watched a game on the TV, apart from the Harlem Globetrotters years ago. And I think that was possibly a cartoon at the time. But no, never seen any. So no, I did not know that. That's cool. Liking that. Renee cooked Brussels sprouts. Well, what can I say? If that floats your boat, there you go. Excellent. Anthony's happy to come on. Jolly good. I will get a mail out to you. Oh, and Kim's newsletter got out with all the links. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I think it's very silly that they don't put that front and centre with like marching red ants around it, because that trips up so many people. You think, oh, I want the best quality. And you don't realise the knock-on effect of that is no clickable links. which I think is ludicrous. You might want best quality and still have a digital distribution, but they're not figuring that in, are they? Did they ever reply to your support ticket? I know they're busy, but that's not the point. Oh, for a Thermomix Basics class. Oh, that would be a good idea, that Tracer. Quite liking that idea. I also came up with a bit of a project-based demo. I've always said that covering Keyboard Maestro is tricky because unless you've got a problem to solve with it, it's all too theoretical. But I solved a problem with it today. So I could demonstrate that. You've not heard from them yet. Good grief. My tech support is significantly better. It took 2 seconds, didn't it? Oh, you'd think that that was a copy and paste job for them. I can only imagine how many times they hear from people, my links aren't clickable, because I wanted it good quality. That should literally just be an auto response, shouldn't it? That's shocking. I think the longest I waited, not from them, I don't think I've ever asked for technical support, but I did ask for technical support from somewhere and it was like 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks is not good for something that you've paid for. I wonder what it costs them per support incident, because if you think about what you pay, you can understand Adobe's stance. But then there needs to be a better manual. And the fact, you know, I pick up software and it infuriates me that nobody thinks a manual is needed anymore. And I think that's complete rubbish. Like I said, the blend modes. If you ever look up blend modes on Affinity Help, you'll just laugh like the Smash Man. It literally says there's these blend modes that are popular and there's these blend modes, full stop. And I'm like, yeah, but what do they do and what are the maths in it? No. Nothing. One page on blend modes. One. How on earth are we supposed to learn them to pass that on? Like the export persona. You can export, full stop. Yeah, but it does a lot more than that. Like tables. You can make a table. There you go. And they put in a separate cell feature that doesn't actually separate a cell. You got to work all that out for yourself. Poor. Poor. I vaguely heard, is this on YouTube, Renee? Some kind of videos they did on YouTube. Renee thinks I qualify for the Serif demo team like they had a few months ago. Do you know, I got a comment from one guy. This was a while back. And he put, oh my God, this video is so much better than the Affinity ones. Please make those stop. I think he means, the thing is that they don't get very excited, do they? Because it's their own product, so it's unseemly. But if you're not working for them, if it's absolute garbage, I'll tell you it is. What is she up to now? Oh my. All the toys are flying all over the place. Take her in the garden. She's obviously been cooped up too long. She's just slipped him. Mike, will you calm down? She's fine. She's just pulling your chain. Go into the garden and play with chicken. Right, there she is. She's headed off. Yeah, share the link. I'd love to see it. But if something's fantastic, I'll say it's fantastic. And I do take the time to think, well, they've added this feature. I don't know how it works. There's no help on it. I'll play. Push it. You know, try different things with it and see how it works. But I still think a manual would be a jolly good idea. When you think they put those books out and they're not cheap, they do it, release them at slightly less, but those books are £40-50 and they're workbooks. By calling them a workbook rather than a manual, it covers the fact that it doesn't actually cover all of it. It's, here's a project, this is what we're going to cover. Here's another project, this will show you this. But it doesn't actually cover everything or all of the options because it's project based. I wish they would do more of that. It was a month of user demos, not their own team. Ah, right. No, not heard about that. They're not far from me. They are in Nottingham, which as the crow flies, isn't that far. To get to it, however, is a living nightmare. You either have to go head all the way down past Stoke, heading to Birmingham, which is quite a way, and then go right across the country. And then when you get across the other side, go back up again. The more direct route would be just to head east from Manchester over to Nottingham. But to do that, you have to go over the Pennines, the hills, where it's probably snowing in the middle of August. It's quite high. I've done that journey 2, 3, 4 times maybe. Every time was worse than the last. First time I remember, I was going to a football match at Nottingham Forest, obviously in Nottingham. And I don't travel well. And the journey was awful, absolutely awful. Then we decided because it had been so bad that time, the next time we go on the motorway. But then coming home, it was so bad on the motorway, we decided to come back that way. There was hailstones the size of golf balls. We thought the car was going to be damaged. It was that bad. So I don't have good time getting to Nottingham, but that's where they're based. Serif are based in Nottingham. So it's not that far, as long as you've got like a Learjet or something to get there. So you don't have to worry about the hills. Kiva is on guard duty today. It's garbage day. She knows people will be outside. That'll be tomorrow for us. It's Tuesday here, and it's excitement tomorrow because they're taking the real rubbish. This is what we call the grey bin. As you know, we have many, many, many bins. I think all told we're supposed to have 6. We use 4. We don't use the little one that breeds maggots in the kitchen. We bin that, pardon the pun. And we don't use one of the others. It's some kind of box. It's not really a proper bin. It's a box. I don't know what we're supposed to put in there. But everything else is all colour-coded. And tomorrow, once every 2 weeks, they take the actual rubbish. Not the tins and the bottles and the recycling and all of that. No, the actual rubbish. So we're looking forward to that. I've got 2 bin bags in the office at the moment. Right, okay, I have got that, Renee. So I will copy that and have a little gander at it later. Oh, Tracy's in. Well, Pete's sorting out his good lady wife's microphone at the moment, so he'll be with us when he sorted his microphone out. Thank you, Renee. I have got that link. I have got that. So I will have a look at that later. I did hear that they were on. I think they sent an email, but I didn't really have the time. Do you know, Mike and I are saying we're seeing less of each other during lockdown than we were before. And we sit there and think, how? How is that happening? But it is. So we need to sort that out. But a good time was had by all yesterday. Have you caught up yet, Tracy? Have you caught up with yesterday and tables? So what have I got planned for tomorrow? Let's have a look what's going on. My week is quite bizarre this week and next week. I have swathes of time blocks from about 12 o'clock onwards. Then obviously we stop. We've got Lola's walk and Mike's webinar and we need to eat. And then we've got Marooned and then we start again. So there's like 3 chunks of the day as far as I'm concerned. But there's no client stuff in there, which is the weird bit. That's quite weird. Both this week and next week. And next week, it's a short week. Mike's holiday, one of our infamous holidays, starts on Friday the 2nd. Oh, and I've just clocked that. It's Chidge and Nina's anniversary, 31st of March. Need to get a card, don't I? Mustn't forget that. So, yes, I'm in holiday mode. I know it's 2 weeks away, but I can't wait. I can't wait to get there. Oh, not caught up yet. Well, hopefully you'll enjoy it when you do. I don't know how it got to be 2 hours with then a Q&A, but we did have fun. Oh, we did. particularly the Premier League one, which was one of those, can't see where this is heading, OMG. It was one of those. So we liked that. But you were busy in a good way. You were busy enjoying yourself, which is excellent. Holiday pre-fun is great. Oh, it's the planning, isn't it, Renee? Looking forward to it and stuff. Half of me, do you know, I probably spend more time planning it than the actual holiday. But this time I've got to make sure, because I you know, I've just discovered we've got holiday in June. I did not know this. We did have last year, but it wasn't exactly a holiday. What Mike had done, he is able to buy holidays. So he can, I think he's up to 10 he can buy. And then we leave them alone. If we need them during the year for anything, we use them. If we don't, then we get a holiday at the end of June. So last year we did, but we both took a series of courses. So it was a busman's holiday. Are you with me? So it's going to start, according to this, on the 12th of June, which is jolly good. It's Lola's birthday in the middle of that, 15th. What else have we got that's exciting in the middle of it? Not much. So it is, looking at this, a full 2 weeks. What's potentially exciting about that? I'm just seeing here that my Camtasia maintenance agreement is due for renewal in June. That means between now and then, new version of Camtasia. So that's something to look forward to, because June's not that far away. As we know, where did last year go? Not a clue. But wherever it went there very quickly. So we're looking forward to the June holiday too. Not decided what we're doing. Don't panic though. I don't think we're going anywhere. I think that's a given that we're not going anywhere. Boris is concerned about the third wave, which I must admit I don't understand myself, because it doesn't make sense. If the vaccine's working, and we are now at over 50% of the population vaccinated, why would the third wave worry us to the degree it's worrying other countries who are only at 5% vaccinated? I don't know that. And if it's variants, aren't we going to have to do this whole vaccination thing again? It'll be a permanent thing, won't it? Every now and then, oh, we all need to have a vaccine. And then it'll probably take 6-7 months. Get the entire population vaccinated again. I just don't know why it would be as significant here, but they're panicking. Oh, Tracy says they're talking about the fourth wave here. I agree, because there was the first one, wasn't there? And then there was another peak. And then in January was the big one, which really was the third wave, but they're saying that was the second. But the figures today are like, oh, hardly anybody's dying. Only 85 today. And I think that's so disrespectful to the people who are dying and their families. There was a horrific story about a gentleman who, now, he didn't have COVID. Well, he didn't when he went in. You know where that's going, don't you? He'd actually had some kind of cardiac issue. I can't remember the actual name of it, but it was a heart problem. Goes in. Not doing well because the wife and family can't visit. So he takes a turn for the worst and gets COVID. So then they can't visit full stop anyway. He gets over the COVID, I think, and they're begging, literally begging, to just visit him for an hour. Because the problem was, because he wasn't seeing his family, his will to live was just disappearing. And they said they could tell when they're on the phone with him. He then sends them a text. And he says, I'm feeling really rough. I'm not going to make it. I'm scared I'm not going to make it. And I'm scared and I'm on my own. And they again tried to get one of these emergency, you can go and see him appointments. So on compassionate grounds, they could actually let them in. No, they got refused and he died. And the wife can't get over the fact that she feels that she abandoned him. And if she hadn't, he would still be here today. I don't know how you get over that. Because they did everything that they could. You know, it was just circumstance. I was wondering if he could just sign himself out and be done, or whether there is something that you can't. I mean, I guess that once you had COVID, you're basically under house arrest. But how shocking for the family, not only to be dealing with the loss, but how it all happened. Because to me, that would probably be actually worse. So they were completely distraught. Best friend for Tracy just got vaccinated by the chemist. Not heard of any chemists doing it in the local area here. I don't know. Anthony says that we like flu, we have to have it every year. The thing with flu is not everybody has it, do they? And there are different flu jabs, and it's really up to you if you have one or not. I know flu can be terminal for some people, but for the majority of people, it's not. I think COVID's slightly different. It's going to have to be an all-round year thing that you're vaccinating. It must be, because it will take that long. And at the moment, they've got these mass vaccination centres. We have a location near us, which is this life centre thing. And they've commandeered it. So yes, they're paying the people who own it. And obviously we're in a national lockdown. So anybody who had it booked for something else wouldn't be able to use it anyway. But what are they going to do when it becomes like flu? Oh, you're just going for your next COVID vaccine. Where are they going to use? I really don't know. I know they're saying you can go to your GP. We've not heard from our GP. It's a fairly small practice. So even if they've got nurses to administer it, we're probably the bottom of a very long list. So going forward, I honestly don't know what they're going to do. Oh, Kim is fully vaccinated. That is fantastic news. You're just waiting for the side effects to set in. Oh, don't say that. Hopefully this time you'll be okay. Didn't they say the second time it was worse because you'd already had part of it? Because I'd have thought it would be the other way around, but maybe not. The jab was supervised by her sister, who's a theatre nurse. Well, that's good to know. Filled the spot for a customer who couldn't come and presented the AZ vaccine going to waste. That's another thing, isn't it? Vaccines going to waste. Apparently, this was on the news yesterday, which was, I thought, totally ridiculous. People are trying to queue jump. And I'm thinking, well, how can you queue jump? You know, if you... Oh, Pete's here. Well, hold that thought about that. Right. Hello, Pete.
Hello, how are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Ah, great, great. Sorry for the slight delay. We've just had a slight technical issue. Emma's doing some sort of online choir thing and just needed some help setting a microphone up for tonight, so...
You are here now.
I am
here. Everybody is waiting with bated breath to hear the grand tale of the brown cable. The airwaves are yours.
Oh, right. So we have just moved house. So we thought, obviously, changing jobs, moving house and starting something in the middle of a new pandemic with three kids wouldn't be enough of a challenge. So we decided to throw in the mystery of the brown cable as well. We have moved into quite an old house. I think there's bits of it that have been extended, but the initial bit of it, I think, is something like 250 years old. So it's quite old. There's a few cables and bits and bobs and things going all over the place, and we're not entirely sure what some of them do, including the brown cable. We've had an electrician out today because we kind of thought, just in terms of getting a safety check done, it would be an idea just to make sure that we could, not blow ourselves up or electrocute the kids. And it turns out that some of the electrical stuff that's been rewired was initially done in the 70s when there was a copper shortage. So a large part of our house is wired with, rather than copper wire, it's aluminium core with a copper coating around it, which is probably going to need to be pulled out. But essentially, the other good thing about this electrician was that he's lived in the village for pretty much all of his life, apart from when he went to uni. So he knows all the people who've lived here and the stories of how things have gone and the previous occupants and what was done to the place. So the brown cable is indeed an RJ45 cable, as you quite rightly suggested. And it does run from the office itself out to the loft. And from the loft, it attaches to, as I think it was McJim Nareel suggested, it attaches to an antenna. turns out that historically this particular village has always had a really poor sort of connectivity. We don't actually have mains gas, so everybody's on oil, and the phone lines were working, but again I think the local exchange was one of the first automated ones, because nobody wanted to sit in a cubicle in the old days and move cables around. But it turns out that the broadband here was historically quite poor anyway, just in terms of the infrastructure. So it turns out that the brown cable of mystery is actually connected to an antenna that points to a microwave dish that used to be the old internet connection that came into the house. So it used to be the first broadband connection that they had was transmitted over a microwave, and they've left the cabling in, but they've eventually got fibre into the cabinet sort of at fairly low speed. But yeah, the brown cable of doom is a remnant of the earliest broadband that they had coming into the village.
How fabulous. Archaeological broadband.
The speed isn't much better at the minute, even though they've got fibre to the cabinet, to be honest. So
I'm sure they'll get around to you. Isn't Boris having some kind of scheme?
He is, and we've kind of signed up for it, but I don't know how many people, because the other thing about the village is it's a village of two halves. There's the north and the south bit. And I think there are two competing schemes on to get broadband, and I'm not sure which one has got more signatures on it, but I don't know if either's reached the minimum threshold. But we've said we're interested, but hopefully it'll end up to it'll end up going ahead, because I think the best speed we've had at it is, I think, 20 megasecond, which is fine as long as only one of you is doing anything or streaming anything. But yes, I can imagine if we're, because I think having moved house, I think something like 9 times in 11 years, the only way they're getting me out of here is going to be horizontally. So I can imagine when the kids are teenagers, it's probably going to be a bit more taxed in terms of gaming and streaming and whatever else we're doing. But as well as the good thing is, though, as well as having the electrics looked at, the guy who came around is a bit of a wiring wizard when it comes to computers and things. So he said essentially the large amount of rewiring that we need doing, although it's a bit of a pain in the backside, actually, because all the boards and walls and things are going to have to be up, is a good opportunity to put Cat6 cable in. So essentially we could future-proof the house and just have Ethernet running around there, all under the floorboards and things, and make it a bit more straightforward to put in one go, and we'd only have to do it the once, and it wouldn't be subject to any of the Wi-Fi limitations that you have.
Brilliant, brilliant. Which is what we advised, right?
Absolutely. Well, if you fancy coming doing a bit of cabling, then.
Well, cable's better. You can still use your Wi-Fi, but with having a backbone, which is exactly what we do. So there is a backbone from where it comes in the house, in the hall, up the stairs, straight into the office. Then it just gives you opportunity to have, if it's a computer, run it at the best speed it can run on a cable, but all of the rest of the stuff can then use the Wi-Fi.
And if you only have two or three Wi-Fi things, you can then move the Wi-Fi points around depending on where you're going to be in the house.
Yep.
Perfect.
So, all sorted. Excellent. Good job you had that brown cable to worry about.
Yeah, as well as the rest of the house itself. Sorting out the plumbing's going to be the next thing after the wiring's done as well. So I think I may be about 50 or 60 by the time all the jobs are actually done, or I've managed to work enough to actually pay for them to be done. So it may be a work in progress.
Oh yeah, there is that as well. Don't houses look fantastic when you're looking around them? You see the beauty and then you move in.
To be fair, we'd kind of gone through all the structural stuff and there was nothing on there, and we were sitting there going, it's an old house, there will be issues, we're almost sure there will be, but we know they're not structural. But there's always caveats that put in the surveys about, oh, we haven't looked at the plumbing and we haven't looked at the electrics and this, that, the other. We were sitting there thinking, we're probably going to have to do some rewiring, there will be work to do in here. So it's not anything too major over what we thought, but you know, just the opportunity to try and get all the cabling done in one, it means it's a bit less of a blow, because it just kills two birds with one stone, I suppose.
It reminds me of when my mum and dad moved, when she was expecting me, and it was going to be like, well, we can leave things like the wallpaper and stuff that can wait until the baby arrives. Only when they moved in, one of the caveats was the they didn't check the floorboards. And they moved in and the floorboards all needed replacing downstairs. So they didn't have a downstairs while she was 7 months pregnant. That did not go down well with her.
Ah, yes, I can imagine that. Well, we've kind of done something similar. So there was some old flooring that was downstairs in the main living room. And we kind of came and we thought, well, we'd like to match some of this. And they very cleverly had a rug sort of concealed over this one bit that we pulled the rug back and we got in. And there's a large missing segment that's just sort of was bodged together with something that wasn't like this patterned flooring. We thought, oh, we wonder what's under here. And we kind of picked that up because we thought we're going to have a look at it anyway. And there's all the original floorboards under there. And we thought, oh, that'd be great. We can, you know, sand them down, varnish them. It'll look absolutely lovely because it's part of it. It's like an old farmhouse, so it's all thick beams and things. It'll look really nice. And then when we pulled bits of the other flooring back, there was little bits of planks and things that had been put in. It turns out that and there was a slight hole in the wall that had been constructed and filled over again, and we couldn't for the life of us think, you know, what was going on here. And anyway, it turns out that when we had this electrician round, he gave us the details of it. Apparently there's another couple that lived here, and I think her father had been quite old and ill, so they'd converted part of that room to an ensuite just while he was there, and that was his bedroom and ensuite and all the rest of it. Unfortunately, he died fairly soon after, and then took it all out. But essentially, the infrastructure for where they'd had the toilet and the shower and things was still in that room, but they'd just sort of been taken out and boarded over. So it was useful to have him around because it's answered quite a few questions we had about the place.
Now that saves you pulling the boards up to have a look.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Well, the boards, well, it sounds like a wonderful anyway, location, yeah. Though.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's really nice. It's like a nice sort of little village. It's a really nice sort of community. In answer to Kim, yes, we're getting eggs from the hens. We've got five hens at the minute. One of them is an escape artist that we've named Houdini. The kids have named the other ones. So we've got, I'm trying to think of one of them, Marmalade. I can't remember the other two, but the last one we decided had to be called Jeff. I have no idea why, but we have Jeff the hen.
Jeff the hen, yeah.
Jeff and her four colleagues are laying quite well. We're probably getting about two or three eggs a day at the minute, so it's actually really nice. The kids are going absolutely wild for going out and collecting them, so it's nice that they can have a bit of an interest, and it saves me having to do it as well, which is always nice. But no, it's really nice. It's a really nice little sort of corner of the earth. So yeah, we'll hopefully be pretty happy here once I've got my cabling in and USB wall plugs and things. So yeah, we're taking little steps first. We're hopefully getting our bed delivered on Friday because we've currently got a mattress on the floor at the moment.
It's just like when you were a teenager.
Pretty much, except the sheets get changed a bit more often, yeah.
Oh, it does. It sounds fantastic. So have you all actually settled in? You at work now, kids at school?
Yeah. So the kids have stayed in the same school, which has been nice. And they're back, thankfully, having done all the coronavirus thing. We had a period of homeschooling, which was not ideal, but it's over now. So, yeah. So they're quite happy. I've started my new job. Emma's still doing her job. So it's we're both a lot closer to work. It's a lot better just in terms of I now don't have to get up and leave home at 5:30 in the morning to get to work to start at 8. I can now leave at 7:30 and still be there on time. And you know, the quality of life's a lot better. The job's great as well. I'm working with some really, really good people. It's just a complete change and just taking a bit of getting used to be honest.
It sounds fantastic. How's the rotor doing? Were you charged with fixing it?
No. the rotor remains. No, the rotor is as colourful as ever.
It was amazing, that one. I don't think I could have followed it, so I'm impressed. I am impressed.
I think once it was explained to me, it kind of made sense. But yes, I have no particular desire to take over that. I've given them a couple of links to some after hours shows and just said if you want to do anything more on the spreadsheet front, then there's a guy called Mike Thomas that you might want to have a look at, and he's very good at explaining stuff. And I don't know if he'll take him up on that, but
and it won't look that bright, but you'll be able to follow it.
True. Yeah.
And how is it to get your helicopters?
It's a bit closer as well. So I think I'm about 15, 20 minutes closer to both the bases, and the drive's a lot better. We we basically go down onto two A roads to get to the base effectively from where we are now. We're avoiding a lot of cross country, so we're a bit closer. The roads are better. So yeah, it's really, really good.
That's fantastic. And the mystery is solved. So well, I'm going to have to work that into the title of the show. Tracy says, given the state of some on-call rooms, mattresses on the floor must seem like luxury.
I was going to say, what's an on-call room? I've heard wonderful things about them.
Oh, come on. I mean, you surely have been there.
Historically we had them. We don't anymore. Essentially, there was I've just now, I mean, I've been a consultant for five years now, I think. I've only now got a desk that is my desk and nobody else's for a change. I'm still sharing an office, but essentially there's been a massive loss of real estate. So the majority, I mean, when I was working in Leeds, I think we had in my office, we were all hot desking in the anaesthetic department. I think across the whole site, I think there was something we were in region of 130, 150 consultants there. You know, we all had offices that we generally sort of gravitated towards, but nobody had their own desk. Everyone just had to share. And at the minute, I think there's nine consultants in intensive care, and I finally have a desk. It's shared with, I think, well, the room's shared with four of the consultants, but I actually have a desk now, apart from Thursdays when somebody else comes over from another hospital and borrows it. But, you know, the on-call rooms all went. Everything's now sort of, we do 24 hours on call if I'm doing that, but I start at 8 in the morning. I'm normally, for a 24-hour shift, I'll normally finish it around sort of 8 in the evening, 9 in the evening in terms of being in the hospital, but I'm then on for phone advice until 8 o'clock the following morning. And if I have to come in, then I can kind of get home as long as I don't live any more than 20 minutes from the hospital. But no, if you get the opportunity to rest overnight, you generally try and find a chair somewhere. So there's no more on-call rooms, certainly not in hospitals I've worked in. I think there's... You know, I don't even think there's a doctor's mess anymore, or if it is, it's very, very well hidden.
That reminds me of when Mike went in. So we're in A&E. He actually ended up with it was a kidney stone. So you can imagine the pain. Mm. And he just couldn't sit still. He had to be moving. So he's walking up and down this corridor, leaning on the walls. And there was a food dispensing. Mm. So some of it, I think, was like an odd sandwich, but mainly it was Mars bars and stuff like that and fizzy drinks. And I thought, fancy having that in A&E, you know, assuming it was for the patients because the wait time was like 5 hours. No, apparently it was for the doctors.
Oh, yeah.
They trooped out. And I thought, you can't eat that. You can't drink that. But they did.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think there's been a couple of initiatives to try and get rid of some of the junk food out of hospital vending machines with very, very limited success, mainly because the staff all revolt because there isn't really canteen facilities. So, yeah, it's one of these things where you kind of think, oh, well, that'd be great. But the reality is there aren't actually the welfare facilities for staff to do the job. And sometimes you just need a Mars bar at 3 o'clock in the morning and nothing else is going to hit the spot. So,
you know, looking at them, they looked absolutely exhausted. But, you know, you can imagine when you go in there and it's like, oh, you're going to have to eat healthily. And you're thinking, but I just saw you. Mm-hmm. If that's all that's available, what can you do? I'm hoping the one good thing that might come out of COVID is a pet peeve of mine you've just mentioned, hot desking. Hot desking should be taken out and flogged.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people that can do work from home in terms of a lot of the management side of things, and I think if they can be encouraged to stay at home and do work and we can get some sort of the management side of things doing hot desking who don't need to be doing clinical stuff, then that would be really helpful because that would potentially free up a lot of office space for other people that actually do need it. So if we, you know, I think we've got quite a small relatives room to have sort of conversations with people in. If we could have somewhere a bit bigger, or so we could get more people in if needs be, because obviously the whole risk assessment about how many people you can have in an office is all changed because of COVID as well. And I think we're moving to a point now where, you know, at the minute there's a lot of temporary measures in place, and which ones end up being permanent and which ones end up sort of being, you know, depends on what the local risk levels are, I suppose, and what tier people are in as to how stringently those get enforced. But it'll be very interesting seeing who actually says that they need to have office space, given how sort of ubiquitous home working is becoming now for people that don't necessarily need to be in a hospital.
Yeah, plus the fact I think many more people will be concerned about sharing a space as not being hygienic, whereas if it's your desk, it's your desk.
Hmm.
Which is how it was when I was in an office in the law. You know, your desk was your desk.
Hmm.
They then brought in this concept of, like, we'll have a bigger office, but the desks are anybody's, you know, just walk in and choose one. And I'm like,
yeah,
no. Because there's that book, isn't there? Who moved my cheese? No. And they did that where Nina worked, which was the local council. She couldn't handle it at all. Could not handle it. Decided to retire rather than actually stay on and live with it. So I think for some people, they don't mind. Mm. I don't know anybody who's ever said, I love it. I love the idea of moving every five minutes.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a fan of it, to be honest myself. It's one of these sort of necessary evils where there isn't enough space. And you do wonder who decides who gets an office and who actually needs it and what they actually contribute in terms of. But it is quite interesting to sort of see, if you're saying that, because we the way that we end up sort of working, we have our job plans are designated into two different areas. So there's DCC, which is direct clinical care, which is essentially doing ward rounds or operations or anything like that, or working in clinics. And then there's SPA time, which is support and professional activities. So that's things like work emails, write reports for the coroner, CPD, that sort of stuff. And there is, in the terms and conditions of how people work, there is a thing where you have to have facilities to do that sort of thing provided to you. So again, there's a whole thing of if the trust or the organisation that you work for has to provide these facilities, but there's no sort of thing saying that it actually has to just be your desk or something. So until there's sort of changes in the national terms and conditions of what we're expected to do in terms of SPA, well, there will still have to be some sort of provision, but no one's entirely sure, like you say, going forward, what that's going to look like.
It's all this kind of stuff that means that you do need more managers than clinical staff. That's Rachel's number one complaint.
Well, I have a theory that essentially if you can explain what your if you can't explain what your job involves in fewer than five words, you're probably superfluous. But
I'm always saying to Mike that he'll say, like, oh, they've done this, or they've brought this in, they've bought this. Remember the moss on the wall? Spent heaven knows what on the moss on the wall. And my answer is, does it cure cancer? If the answer's no, then we're not having it. Shouldn't have it. But I guess it's a little bit different for you. A little bit different. Kim says in one of her on-call rooms in the Navy, the mattress had fleas.
Oh, yeah.
There's something to conjure with, Kim. That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you've settled in and that you're enjoying it. And it's a lot easier for you all.
Yes, much better, yeah.
And we now know what the brown cable was.
Absolutely.
And good to talk to you again. Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, been about a year, I think, near enough.
Yeah, you told us all about the helicopters. And we've got Anthony coming on later in the week, telling us all about what he's doing as well. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And Jonathan's going to catch up tomorrow. He did put a note in and said he had to go, but he's going to catch up tomorrow on catch up. So say hello to Emma and all the kids. Tell them we are thinking of you all, enjoying yourself with the hens. And hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll see you later.
See you later. Bye,
cheers,
Pete.
Bye.
And that was Pete. The brown cable. Internet history. And getting 20. You think of 20 as appalling, don't you? I did a speed test the other day. It was just over 1,000. But when I first got broadband, and this wasn't anything clever, this was just standard, here's broadband. The very first time broadband was rolled out. It wasn't microwave, it was actually cable. But it was coming down the copper wire. And they were saying, and I don't think I actually got this amazing speed, 512K. And now we have 200 times that, thankfully. Our only wish here is that our upload was faster, because I've seen it where it's equal to the download, and I would love that. But no, Virgin Media are very, very stingy when it comes to the upload. But we cope. Oh, Paul. Yeah, I think our first one, our first modem was a 14.4. So obviously miles faster than that as well. But we didn't get ours until 1993, I think. And we were, Mike would borrow a computer from work, a desktop computer, and he'd bring it round here or to his flat. And we were like, okay, it's a penny a minute. And we had to put the money on one side for when the phone bill came in, because mum's phone bill back then would probably have been about £30. With us on the internet for a quarter, even if you were only on sort of, you know, £1 a day, there's £90 before you even start. So we had to be very careful timing ourselves. Oh, now Anthony had the 512k when he was at university, and they were very proud. The computer science department and its new building had a dedicated 1 meg internet connection. We had a local college here. It was, I'm trying to think now. Yeah, it was literally up the road from us. It used to be a secondary school, and they turned it into like a community college. And I remember going down there, talking to the computer department, and they had a T1 line. So it was a dedicated ISDN line, and it was running at 1 meg. And I remember thinking, like, wow, wow. And it was, you know, in its day, fairly fast. And we've now gone to 1 gig. I don't know if it's going to get much faster than that. I just hope that the upload will get a little bit faster. When the upload was about 10, we were trying to upload about 400 to 500 meg, which was our, we would do some training that we'd done. We would zip it all up in different versions. So the video itself was somewhere between 150 to 200 meg, but there were different versions. So there was the overlay version, the high def version, the lower quality version, and we zipped them up. You had to upload them, and it would take like 5 hours. But 9 times out of 10, it would fail halfway through, and you're like, ah, got to start it again. Once we went to, I think it was 20, you know, so for us, that was like, well, that originally would have been at 1.5 meg. We went to 10 and it was like a bit better. And we went to 20 and it was like, well, at least it'll do it now. So I would say 9 times out of 10, it succeeded rather than failed. And our upload is now 52. So it's up there within minutes instead of 5 hours. The first thing I remember downloading, and we just got a 56k modem, was that we'd gone out, we'd bought Adobe Acrobat. This was back in the day when Adobe Acrobat was totally separate, and also about £250. So we bought it because we wanted to make PDFs, and that was the only way. So you're probably looking at about 94, 95. We got it back home and it said there's some updates and you can get them off the internet if you want. Like, oh, yeah, well, we'll do that. You know, I want the latest versions. And it started downloading, and it wasn't that big. You're looking at like 3 or 4 meg, and it said it was going to take like 3 days. It was that slow. Oh, aren't we blessed now? I see what Pete needs to do with the kids is put them on a 14.4 modem and let them think that's normal, and then tell them you've upgraded, and then they'll love you forever. But you see, if they start with the fantastic connections, then they want more and more and more. So set expectations carefully. Oh, that 1 meg ISDN line. And I remember I actually did check how much that would have been and if you could have one in a domestic situation. And I think you could, but the price was astronomical. But I do know, because I went to work for a couple of weeks, went to help out in this local place. It's in a village, a little village a mile away, called Ashton-on-Mersey Village. And the on-Mersey part is, it's right next to the Mersey River. And it was a recording studio. I didn't even know it was there as a recording studio. It looked like a very old building that may at some point in the 20s have been a school, which it might have been. But when you went inside, it was like, wow. You know, it was beautiful inside. All the original fittings and beams and floors, it was absolutely gorgeous. And they had put on the ground floor something like 3 full studios. And then you went into like a mezzanine layer where you could look out over these studios. Absolutely amazing. And they were doing recordings with people. And they were on about, oh, yeah, now, who's the first one? the steeplejack. Oh, what was his name? Fred Dibner. And he was doing an advert for something. They wanted somebody with that particular accent. And the next minute, I wander through reception and there's Fred Dibner. So got to say hello to him, have a chat with him and everything. Lovely guy. And then the next thing I hear is, oh, yeah, Penelope Keith's doing the voiceover for such and such. And I thought, oh, I love Penelope Keith. So I'll just walk through reception again. But she wasn't there. No, she had an ISDN line at home and they automatically hooked up to that and then away they went. So a lot of the VO artists did have an ISDN line in their house. And even when the internet got better, they stuck with the ISDN line because it was dedicated and predictable in terms of speed. So better for doing that kind of work. So very, very many voiceover artists who do it from home do have like a dedicated connection like that rather than a connection like we would have today, even though it's like 1,000 times faster. Wait, that's scary, isn't it? 1,000 times faster. Unbelievable. Anthony was watching a film on a 56k modem, tiny and blurry. But you were watching a film over the internet. I was like that with early videos. It was just amazing, wasn't it? I mean, we didn't have the ability to actually make and record the videos that much at that point. But yeah, I did the thing. It was either a TV program or an advert. And it was like, oh, and it's a video and it's on the internet. There was one thing the other day, and you know, I don't think, because I remember how slow it used to be, I think you're more appreciative of it. There was a drama that was on BBC early 90s, like 91, 92, something like that. And it was all about a case, the Carl Bridgewater case, and it was called Bad Company. And my favourite actor was in it again. Had a main lead in that. He did not die in that. That one of the very few things he did not die in. But it was way before he was my favourite actor. So I looked for it online and there was one half of it online, really poor quality, but not the second half. So in the interim, I did get a copy from a friend on a VHS tape. So this is the late 90s. The other week, I was looking up something on YouTube and it said, you might be interested in this. And I looked at it and it said Bad Company. Now, there is another film called Bad Company, a big American thing. So I thought, oh, it'll be that one again. And I looked at it and it wasn't. It was the original thing on YouTube, 3 hours of it in really good quality. And, you know, that still thrills me. Even now when you could be like, oh, yeah, there's everything on YouTube. But, you know, sometimes when it's like as old as that and you're like, oh, wow. You know, I've got to see that after all these years. I don't know why they didn't put it on again. Most of the people involved have died, I think. So there shouldn't really be a problem putting it on. But maybe it was more of its time like Rough Justice and they wouldn't put it on again. Oh, Napster. I did have a quick look at Napster. I didn't do much with Napster. It felt too good to be true. And obviously it turned out it's what it was. But, you know, without Napster, would we have Spotify and all of that? They did push the boundaries, didn't they? LimeWire. I didn't try LimeWire. But yeah, downloading a song would take forever, wouldn't it? But it was the fact that you could do it and you needed to do that. Kim's just checked. 16 down, 2.5 up. That's not bad. That isn't bad. I think Graham's around that mark at the moment. And when Pete mentioned like the two halves of the village and you know, there's one scheme for one half and a scheme for the other, that's exactly what happened to Graham. Graham lives in this village and his sister lives in the same village. But there is like this demarcation line in the middle. So when the faster speed came in, his sister got it and he didn't. He was like, she's never going to use it. And I said, well, you could swap houses. Because, you know, that's why we didn't live in Scotland. We loved Scotland, absolutely loved it. It was before we got Mayor, only about a year before. And Mike went to work in Edinburgh for a week. So I went with him and we stayed in this hotel and we loved it. We went into the village every night. And there is this thing about, you know, the Scots not liking the English, but they were fabulous. And we actually did look at the houses and they were wonderful. Oh, there were some beautiful properties. It was like, what's the internet like? And then the gist of it was non-existent. I'm assuming it's much, much better now. I believe that the house prices have shot up around there, though, because this was there when we passed, but I think it was only just being built. there is an Amazon centre, and it is absolutely massive. It's on the north side of Edinburgh, but it's not just a distribution centre or a warehouse. It's like Amazon HQ. Beautiful building. You could barely see it because they'd built it in such a way that the scenery kind of covered it. So I'm assuming with Amazon up there, there is probably a better infrastructure now. One would hope so anyway. Let's put it like that. But happy memories of going there and happy memories of doing an update. So I need to remind myself that when I push the button to do an update on a piece of software and it says come back later, that that's not bad. You know, you'll get it won't take that long. It won't take the best part of 5 days and 17 dial-ups. And if anybody, you know, needs to use the phone, then you're going to have to stop. It'll be fine. That happened to me today, you see. Trying to do the Ulysses update. I knew what all the features were. I just was desperate to get the new version because I've been trying it in beta and it's got a new feature that it's to die for. So I couldn't get my hands on that fast enough. And five times it said, no, not right now, Elaine. Try later. And I'm like, to the App Store. That's not kind. So there I am talking to the App Store and trying to persuade them. Oh, Renee is thinking about emigrating. Not sure where to, but it's got to be warm. That rules out the UK then, doesn't it, Renee? Because it's freezing here all the time. Who's the question about living in a rural area? Tracy, if that's to us, no, we're not in a rural area. Having said that, we are, or for many years, well, I mean, we still are, but we don't have a house phone. We are at the end of the run for the copper cable. We are as far south as you can be and still be in Greater Manchester. So that was a problem for us. Australia's out then. Kim does live in the country, about 5 miles from the city centre. I think 5 miles is about nice, though. When we lived out in that horrific village, it was about 25 miles from Manchester city centre. And, you know, with the traffic and stuff, you're looking at like an hour of 20 minute journey. Where we are now, we're very well situated for the motorways and all of the facilities. So you want to get to Trafford Centre, it's 5 minutes up the road. You want to get on the Metrolink, which will take you anywhere in Manchester. It's the tram system. That's probably 5 minutes up the road. So we're very well placed. And as the crow flies, we're probably about 3/4 of a mile from the Manchester United training ground. Sadly, the crow does not get you there. You have to drive round to the place if you want to try and get in. And unbelievably, so it's 3/4 of a mile if you walk. But in a car, where you actually, that's the way you need to get to it, it's nearly 10 miles away. You have to, it's circuitous. This is one circuitous route, but you have no choice. So that's where we are. And 30 miles from Seattle city centre. Oh, Renee, the whole city isn't even 5 miles. Greater Manchester here is very, very large. As we worked out yesterday, 2.9 million, I think. The actual city centre probably isn't that large, but it's got a lot of surrounding areas. So we're in Trafford, and you would say, like, I mean, there's the people in Trafford who don't want to be in Greater Manchester because it used to be Cheshire. Ours is really weird. The actual postal address is Cheshire, but the postcode's Manchester. But Altrincham, who's next door, and they're further south than us, so heading towards Birmingham, their postcode is Warrington, which is over near Liverpool. So it's all very strange here. That's Cheshire, but they've got a Warrington postcode. It's just crazy. When I look at the map of America and everything's so square and organised, and you look at ours and it's just like an unholy mess, it'd be nice if there was more logic to it, but I don't think they dare change things again. I don't. Right, okay then. Better head off, hadn't we? I've got a meeting on my calendar because you know what my day's like. My day starts late. So I will sort that out. Great to hear from Pete. Glad we've got an explanation for the cable. Oh, you've got to leave that there because, you know, a few years from now, you'll be able to charge entry fee for people to look at it. Say that was wireless, not wireless, microwave internet. Oh, that'll be a thing, I'm telling you. So I hope everybody has a fantastic night and we will see you again tomorrow. So I will say good night from me. I will say good night on behalf of Mike and Lola, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.